Saddest things I saw, despite some poverty and other poor situations. I was in Hong Kong and we went up to call it the Big Buddha. And it was high place. I understood the scripture that talks about high places. We had to ride this cart, almost like a lift that went up into the mountains. At one point we were completely surrounded by a cloud. And as we were coming out of that cloud, I looked and I saw on this hill was a big, big statue of Buddha. And as we were there and we toured the area and saw all the figurines and the statues, I noticed that some people were going and putting money in a box, and then they were taking some big, long wicks of incense, and they were going to a pot that was burning, and they were lighting these big wicks of incense, and they were walking into the temple. They were kneeling, and they were praying to a statue. Somebody who's dead, who can do nothing for them. Yet they spend their time, their effort, their resources. I don't question their sincerity. They had, many of them, walked all that way to the very top to worship a dead God. A God who cannot hear, a God who cannot see their situation, a God who cannot answer, who cannot do anything for them. I'm thankful I serve a living God who ever liveth to make intercession for me. When I fall on my knees and pray, it's not in vain. When I call on his name, it's not in vain. There's power in that name. There's no power in Buddha. There's no power in Confucius. There's no power in Islam. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can find the bones of Buddha. You can find the bones of Confucius. You can find the bones of Muhammad. But you cannot find the bones of Jesus Christ, because he ever lives to make intercession. I'm thankful I know a living God, that I can raise my hands and praise unto him who has all power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn in them with me. New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians number, chapter 1, begin reading in verse number 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, everybody say all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Everybody say preeminence. Look that word up. You'll find out that it means to be first in rank or influence. The Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. All things he might be first. He might be first in rank and influence and in order. Paul said that he, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all, everybody say all, all fullness dwell. Skip ahead to Colossians chapter number 2. Very next chapter, verses 8 and 10. Apostle Paul continuing to write to the church at Colossae. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all. Everybody say all. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all. Everybody say all. All principality and power. Aren't you glad you found completeness in him? You can go after the tradition of men. You can go after the rudiments of this world. But if you're not after Christ, you'll never find completeness. You can't find true satisfaction in this world. You can't find true satisfaction in tradition, even in a religious sense. But if you're after Christ, why? Because he is the preeminent. He is the first in rank of order and influence. He is preeminent. The help of the Lord underpreached you upon this subject. Not just prominent, preeminent. Not just prominent, preeminent. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank God for your wonderful power of your presence here in this place, God. We thank you for your name, God. There's power in your name, God. There's deliverance and healing in your name, God. We thank you for the mighty God in Christ, the revelation of the oneness of who you are and how you work and how you move, God. And I pray that once again we would solidify in our spirit, that once again we would see according to your word, God, that you are preeminent, God, and that we lift you up and magnify you, God, and put you in the correct place in order, for you are first in rank and influence in our lives and should continue to be so. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. You are so good. You are so wonderful, God. And we take this opportunity to give you great praise in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Why don't you clap your hands and lift your voice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Not just prominent, preeminent. The Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians is writing to the church at Colossae. We understand by his own hand that Paul did not establish this church. He did not go there in person. Rather, this church is a result of Paul being at Ephesus. And as he evangelized from Ephesus, the Bible says that all were in Asia who heard the word of the Lord in the space of about 2 years. And so you have this church that is established at Colossae. And now Paul is writing, one of the leaders of the church of Colossae, and his name is Epaphras. And he comes unto Paul and he tells Paul of some situations that are going on in the church of Colossae. And so Paul sits down to write a letter and to give unto this man to take back to the church at Colossae. And though he has never seen them face to face, he understands what they are battling. He, through the inspiration of God, is aware of what they are enduring and what they are going through, and how false doctrine is finding its way into the church. And certain teaching was coming in that Paul wanted to address and Paul wanted to combat. And so we have today the church, or the book of Colossae, which is written to the church at Colossae to combat this dangerous false teaching which was being propagated there in that church. Paul wants us to know, Paul wants them to understand that Christ is preeminent, that Christ is first, and that he is supreme. And he was concerned that they were allowing some doctrines and certain compromise to supplant the centrality and supremacy of Jesus Christ, from creation to revelation to redemption. He was wanting them to know that, listen, all things are in Jesus Christ. He was trying to caution them not to go after those that were vainly puffed up in their own revelation and understanding, those that were worshiping angels and those that were bringing this kind of false religion into the church. If you do a little study, you will find that there at the church of Colossae, some were believing in things that were not biblical, and they were going after things and seeking after things that Paul had to caution them against, because they were getting off track. They didn't keep the main thing. And though they were teaching about Jesus, and though they were still instructing about Jesus, he had become prominent, but he was no longer preeminent. He was still there in their teaching. They were still talking about him, but they had relegated him to some subordinate creature, if you will, or some subordinate deity in a Godhead. And so Paul is addressing this. Paul is presenting unto the church at Colossae, and indirectly unto us, the church of today, some powerful revelation concerning the mighty God in Christ. He is imparting through these scriptures and through this word an understanding that is the foundation of our faith. It is what we adhere to and what we uphold as apostolics, those that believed as the apostles believed, that Jesus Christ was none other than God manifest in flesh. He was not a subordinate deity in the Godhead. He was not another, but he was the mighty God himself. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Can we understand that through his writing and through the Apostle Paul, and if you read the book of Colossians, it's only about 4 chapters long, you will find that it is replete with revelation concerning the mighty God in Christ, that Paul is trying to steer them back to the right place and the right understanding, that Jesus Christ, that in all things he might have preeminence. If you're going to preach anything, if you're going to establish any kind of doctrine, if you're going to come forward in any kind of preaching and teaching, you better start with Jesus Christ and him crucified. You better start with him, because he is preeminent. Can I say this on the authority of God's word and understanding what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church there at Colossae? Any revelation that relegates Jesus Christ to anything other than all preeminent God is not truth. It may have a resemblance of truth. It may look kind of like truth. But if it does not make Jesus Christ preeminent, if it only gives him prominence, it is not the word of God in its entirety. Oh, come on, Pastor. You're preaching to a bunch of apostolics. You're preaching to the choir. I know, but we need to be reminded. Lest we become vain in our own imaginations. Lest we follow after the rudiments of this world and traditions of men. I don't care what Christendom says. I don't care what society says. I care what the Word of God says. I will not back away from the understanding that he is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He is the preeminent one. One of the great revelations of Scripture is that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. He is all in all. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, to understand, to acknowledge that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Hey, you need to understand, Corinth. You need not vary from it. You need not stray away from it. We need to understand that it is the mighty God in Christ, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Redemption, reconciliation, it starts with Jesus Christ, because he is preeminent. Paul, going on in his letter to the church at Colossae, he's talking about certain observances.
He's talking about how that they're observing certain days and certain feasts. And he says, listen, you need to understand that those were a shadow of things to come. But the body is Jesus Christ. You need to understand, hey, don't judge any man in meat or holy day. You need to understand that every day is a holy day because Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. And every day, my day needs to begin with him who is preeminent, who is first in order of importance and rank. John Wesley, I believe it was questioned. He was a man of continuous prayer, and he was known to pray for hours at a time, hours every day. He was questioned by some other, and he said, I don't understand. He said, I have too much to do to pray for hours a day. And John Wesley looked back at the man, and he said, I have too much to do not to pray for hours a day. John Wesley had some things right. He had it in the right order. It's Jesus first. He is preeminent. He is first in order of rank and influence. I understand you. I will readily show you in Scripture where there is a distinction in the flesh that Jesus Christ, the man, was a sacrifice. That Jesus Christ, the man, had a beginning. That Jesus Christ, the blood and flesh, came in the womb of Mary. I understand that. But when you get to the Spirit, there is no distinction. There is no separation. Jesus is Almighty God. That's how he could say, I and my Father are one. Hey, Philip, you that have seen me have seen the Father, because I am the image of the invisible God. Woo. That's how we can read scriptures like 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We can, without any hesitation, we can, according to the word of God, present unto anybody the understanding that Jesus Christ was Almighty God in flesh. And as oneness apostolics, as those who are monotheists in our belief, that we believe, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and he has a name which is higher than any other name. In the Hebrew, you could say Yeshua, but in the English, we would say Jesus Christ. We understand that is the revealed name of Almighty God. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We need to understand that I'm his people and you're his people. We are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And he came, he manifested himself in flesh to purchase our salvation. And we as oneness apostolics, we have to be careful that he is just not prominent in what we do. But he is preeminent. He is first in order of rank and influence, that everything we do whatsoever, I know I quote it all the time, but whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is preeminent. He's not just prominent. He doesn't just stand out. He's not just someone we talk about. No, in him are all things, and by him all things consist. And so when I come into his presence and I lift my hands and lift my voice, I am acknowledging, hey, you are preeminent. You are the first of rank and importance. And I just be real for a little bit. What wearies me in this world, and even in the Christian world, is that we have been okay with just allowing the preaching and teaching of Jesus to be prominent. Catch me where I'm going with this. Well, let's talk about daily devotions, and let's talk about what makes a good man and what makes a good person, and let's talk about how to help people through relationships, and let's counsel them. But be careful if you start mentioning the name of Jesus and you start talking about him, you're starting to separate yourself, and you need to be more intolerant of other people's views and how they view God and who they view God to be and how they feel. No, I need to understand that according to the word of God, if I'm ever going to truly help somebody, if I'm ever ever going to truly reconcile a relationship, if I'm ever going to really minister to somebody, I can't start anywhere else than where he is preeminent. He's got to be first. So we have to be careful, because sometimes, if we're not, sometimes we're content with a prominent Jesus instead of a preeminent Jesus. We're content with just talking about him on occasion or sing a few songs about him and his power, but we really don't want to be, we don't want to be labeled as those Jesus only people. No, we're Jesus everything people. He's preeminent. He's the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. By him all things consist. So I'll pray in the name of Jesus. I'll preach in the name of Jesus. I'll baptize in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he is preeminent. He's the first. See, the reality is much of our world's situation and problem stems from the fact that they have taken Jesus out of his rightful place. They have relegated him to something less than absolutely necessary for everyday life. But I know in him do we live and do we move and do we have our being. Listen, he can't be anywhere else than first, because guess what? If he's not first, if he's not preeminent, if he's not number one in my life, guess what? I've got somebody else in front of him. And he said, I shall have no other gods before me. I need to understand that he's got to be first. I know in this day and age, I know keeping him there, and I know having him there in your family, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to look at the kids and say, no, we're not going there on that day, because that's a church day and we're going to church. Why? Because Jesus Christ is preeminent. He's the first one. And so sports don't matter more than church. Come on. I'm about to get real with somebody. Oh, well, Pastor, we got this going on and we got that. Where is he in your life? Well, I need to go do this and I need to go and I got this and I got, listen, if he's preeminent, if he's first in order of rank and influence, everything else is secondary. Everything else pales in comparison because he's first. He's still prominent in my life. I still talk about him, and I still tell people that I serve him. I tell people I go to church. Listen, is he prominent or is he preeminent? Prominent just means it stands out. Hey, somebody got a prominent nose. I got a prominent receding hairline. It's obvious. It's there. You can't deny it. And my fear is that sometimes as Christian, we're complacent enough to just allow Jesus Christ to be prominent in our lives. Oh, people know I'm a Christian. People know I go to church. People know I serve God. Do they know he's first? There's a difference between him being prominent and him being preeminent. Paul said, listen, the foundation of your error, the foundation of you losing, the foundation of your compromise and your refusing to earnestly contend for the faith, the foundation of you falling away from absolute truth is that you are content with Jesus being prominent. And you haven't kept him preeminent. But oh, if you really want to understand the foundation of truth, if you really want to make sure you're building something on what is solid and what will stand the test of time, you got to start with the true foundation. There is no other foundation can be laid than is laid. That is Christ Jesus. What are you trying to say, preacher? Just this. He's not just prominent in my life. He's preeminent in my life. He's first in rank of order and influence. Might I say that unfortunately even many religions and denominations have relegated Jesus to just being prominent and not preeminent. They compromise and they consider popular opinion as they make decisions and as they put people in positions that are in direct opposition to the Word of God. And all we live in a world that really wants to understand. They really, why? Because by him do all things consist. In other words, I can only find completeness in Jesus Christ. I can only find completeness when I put him first. That's why so many people struggle. That's why they waver and to and fro, and they're tossed about with wind of doctrine, because they haven't laid the proper foundation. They haven't put him first. He may be prominent in their life, but he's not preeminent in their life. I'm simply rising on this Sunday night to caution us that we, even as apostolic Christians, we need to understand everything we do when we come and we lift our hands. It's not about me just being presenting that Jesus Christ is prominent in my life. No, it's about me presenting that he's first in my life. My own wishes, my own intuition, my own will, my own desire. It doesn't come first. His will comes first, because he is preeminent. It's not just about him. It is him. It's not just about, it is him. By him, all things consist. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, and power. He is the firstborn of all things. He is the head of the body, the church. He is there. He is from the beginning, the end, from the beginning. All in him. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. The omnipresent spirit who fills the universe. The advocate, the high priest, the man for sinners slain. The author of redemption. Oh, glory to his name. What name are you talking about? The only saving name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name we know. That name we preach. It is the name of Jesus. And it's got to remain preeminent. Grieves my heart. I read something the other day that a man that was part of our organization that believed at one time, at least I hope and I believe that he believed, the mighty God in Christ, the message. I had the opportunity to sit under his ministry at certain times, and he was a phenomenal minister of the gospel and preached some powerful, impacting sermons, but somewhere along the line, compromise began to creep into his soul, and where Jesus Christ, as I look at some of his posts and I read some of his tweets and I see some of the photos of what he's doing, he has kept Jesus Christ prominent. But Jesus Christ is no longer preeminent in his life. I thought to myself, it grieved my heart. I said, God, help me, Lord. Help me not to just pass it off and not to just allow Jesus Christ to be prominent in my life, but help me to make him preeminent where he's the first in order of rank and influence. There is no distinction and separation in spirit. He is Almighty God manifested in flesh. So I don't have to pray 20 minutes to the Father, 20 minutes to the Son, and 20 minutes to the Holy Ghost. I understand that they are all in Jesus Christ. That when I say the name of Jesus, I am identifying the Father. He said, I have come in my Father's name. When I say Jesus, I'm identifying the one who is born unto Mary, who paid the price for my sin. And when I pray unto Jesus, I'm praying unto the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which the Father sent in his name. I understand that.
But I also read something the other day about from a neighboring pastor who posted, and I thought, wow, what a great understanding. We need to understand that Jesus Christ, he's not just the Father in redemption, or Father in creation, and Son in redemption, and Holy Ghost in regeneration. He's a rock in a weary land. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the lion of Judah. He's the peace speaker. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's all of these things. I don't have to try to separate and distinguish. They're all in the name of Jesus. They're all in him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in him.
That's how Jesus could look at them and say, hey, before Abraham was, I am. I was there before Abraham. What? You're not even 50 years old and you say that you were there before Abraham? Oh, yes. You need to understand. Catch this. I'm about to blow some of your minds. There is no such thing as a pre-existent Christ. He has always existed. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is eternal. The man Christ Jesus had a beginning. He was in the womb of Mary. But the Spirit of Almighty God was in Christ Jesus. And it has always been and will always be. What are you saying? I'm talking about a preeminent Jesus Christ. He's not just prominent. He doesn't just stand out in my life. He's first in order of rank and importance. And by him do all things consist. So I will not back away. I will not compromise. I will not look to any other way. I only have to understand there's power in the name of Jesus because he is preeminent. He is Jehovah has become salvation. When I call on the name of Jesus, I'm calling on the one who has been there from the very beginning. He has always existed. Woo! Ever existing. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I'm glad that I understand. I am glad that I, and it's not just because I was raised in an apostolic Pentecostal home. I thank God for that. I thank God for my upbringing, my rearing. I thank God that I sat under mighty men of God who believed and taught, preached the preeminence of Christ. At some point in time, I had to get it for myself. I had to understand it for me. Just understand it because daddy understood it. Understand it because mama understood it. I had to study to show myself approved unto God. Workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I had to get things in their proper perspective and put things in their proper place. When I realized, hey, he's preeminent, he's first in rank of order and influence, it is him, the fullness of the Godhead. It's all in him. I don't want him just to be prominent in my life. I want him to be preeminent, first and foremost. I realize, I understand. This world would love for us to believe and love for us to concede and compromise. Just keep him prominent. Just talk about him on occasion. Just mention him in your songs. Just be okay with feel good type stuff and help people with daily decisions in life and amass crowds to hear good devotional and encouraging words. Just mention him on occasion. Just keep him prominent. No. Mm-mm-mm. No. That's a foundation for error. That's a foundation for leaving the principles of the Word of God. That's a foundation for erring concerning the Scriptures. I got to keep him first. He's first. By him, all things consist, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He's there. He is God. All in all. I'm thankful. Are you thankful for the revelation of the oneness of God? Are you thankful, God? Help us, Lord. Not just to keep him prominent, Lord, but to make him preeminent, to make him first. When I come into your house, God, that I'm thinking about you and your power and your work, that I'm not going to keep you prominent. I'm going to make you preeminent in my life. You're going to be first in order of rank and influence. I know the only way I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow, the only way I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize, the only way I'm going to make heaven my home is if I keep you in your rightful place. And I don't just make you prominent, but I make you preeminent in my life. all over this house. Why don't you lift your hands? Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you that I know who you are, God. I know in whom I have believed, that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm going to keep putting him first. He is preeminent. He's not just prominent. He is preeminent.
And I worship you.
And I worship you.
You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I glorify you.
And I glorify you.
There is no other.
If I've erred, God, if I've allowed you to become something less than preeminent, if I put other things first, God, I ask your forgiveness, Lord. I want to put you back in your rightful place. You are preeminent. You're the first of all things. You're the firstborn of every creature. Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you.
And I glorify you.
There is no other.
There is no other.
God like you.
No other God like you. Your name. And this.
the name of Jesus. Lift up 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 the name of Jesus. Your name we praise.
I am
which was and is and is to come. Kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train,
like
a temple.
For you are high and lifted up. Your name be praised.
I am,
which was and is to come.
You're the Lion,
you're the Lamb. You're the Lamb, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Your train,
like
a temple.
For you are high and lifted up. Your name. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Help me
lift up the name of Jesus. 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 Your name.
Start considering something else. Sit down and read the book of Colossians. It's only 4 chapters long. But there the Apostle Paul is steering the people back in right standing. You got to keep Jesus Christ preeminent.
Right.
He's first. Begins with him, it ends with him. He's got the first word, he'll have the final word. So I keep him first. I want to make him preeminent in my life, not just prominent. I want to be the first of everything. When I wake up in the morning, I want it to be putting Jesus Christ first in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you. For the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Thank you, that you partook of flesh and blood. That you manifested yourself in flesh to purchase our salvation. God of heaven and earth, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, came to purchase my salvation. God. Help me, Lord, to keep you in your rightful place, God. To not have any other gods before you, to not serve anything or relegate you less than anything else, but first in rank of influence and importance in my life. Every decision I make, God, everything that I do, God, let it be filtered through you, the preeminent God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, one more time. Why don't you lift your hands and lift your voice? Thank you. Thank you. You are who first and the last, Him which was and which is and which is to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more I study, the more I look in the scriptures, the more I realize the many manifestation and complexities of the one God.
Right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
He's the one God. You look in 1 John. It talks about those that bear record in heaven. I had some guy, and I saw this not long ago, and it just brought it to light so well. He said, listen, when I signed the birth certificate of my child, I was bearing record that I'm a father. When my parents put down on my birth certificate when I was born my name, they were bearing record that I was a son. He said, but I got one name. And when I sign those documents, and when I don't sign father, I don't sign, I sign my name. Aren't you glad we have a revelation of the name? Jehovah has become salvation. That's why there's not salvation in any other name. It's the only name that you and I have remission of sins. It's the only name whereby we must be saved. It's the name that bears record. It's the name that identifies the Father. It's a name that identifies the Son. It's a name that identifies the Holy Ghost. It's a name that identifies the Rose of Sharon. It's a name that identifies the Lily of the Valley. It's the name that identifies the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I better stop. I'm gonna get cranked up again. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. Keep him preeminent in your life. You may go in Jesus' name. More thing, I before you go, I know that we always want to give opportunity. Sister Angela Davis came to me before service and asked that we would pray for her. And so before I let you go, I do want to, if anybody else would like to be anointed and prayed for, we believe in that. And we are going to ask her to come forward this time. If there's anybody else who would like to be anointed and prayed for,